Hi, you. Welcome back to Uncensored. I'm Marianne from Yes Mermaids. And today I have former Deki Dean. Thank you, Dean, for being here today with me.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. So thank you very much. Yep.
I'm super excited to dive in this rabbit hole with you because, you know, one of the things that we were talking about previous to recording was the fact that most of us yachties, we come to yachting because there's this pain point in our life where we feel like we don't belong where we are. We want to have adventures. We obviously want to make money while we're adventuring and traveling the world. But there's this big thing, and I think it's that part of like that belonging where it's like you're maybe working a 8-to-5 job, or you're kind of like in uni, or maybe you don't even want to go to uni because like a lot of people now these days in yachting, they haven't even been into university. They just like step completely into yachting out of high school. And I think that the thing, the common theme that I see that we all share is that sense of like, where I am is not where I'm meant to be. Where I am, I don't truly belong. And then we find this industry, you know, called yachting, where it basically gives us what we kind of want at that time in a silver platter. It's like, oh, you want to travel? You want to meet new people? You want to, you know, gain new skills? Boom, here you are. You know, you don't have to pay rent. You don't have to pay for food. So it's like, oh my God, yes, 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 yes. I want to be part of it. But then we get into the industry. And at first, it's very daunting. It's very, for a lot of people, you know, it's not fun when you get into the industry at first. It's very, very hard because what is asked of you as an individual, as a professional, like long hours, mentally, physically, like it's a challenging industry. It's not what, you know, a lot of people think of from below deck. You know, that's like a snapshot of reality of what we actually go through. And there's obviously the dark side of the industry, you know, that most of us either witness or we go through it ourselves. You know, I'm talking sexual harassment. I'm talking, you know, massive isolation. You know, I'm talking, bullying and all this stuff that are happening, right? Racism, sexism, whatever, you know, it's all there. But then what I, within my 14 years of in the industry, what I have find out is that that sense of not belonging, right? That it was the driving source that got you into the industry. Somehow, even though you're part of the industry, it's still there. And then that same sense of not belonging, it almost propels you into now going through different sorts of vehicles to numb yourself instead of truly dealing with whatever it is that you need to deal with in your life, right? So I'm talking about, you know, the massive amounts of parties that we do, the, you know, the drugs that we sometimes use or have used, you know, like, because I mean, let's be real, most of us have one point or another. So, and then there's this sense of like, within the industry, like, oh, this is the norm. Like, this is okay. It's okay to numb yourself. It's okay to not belong. It's okay to isolate yourself. It's okay. But then it's like, it's okay, but there's not a, it's almost like it's okay to do all this crap that we do to ourselves, but it's not okay to actually talk about it. It's not okay to actually open up the door to the darkness and see what it is truly there, you know, and say, hey, you know what? I'm fucked up. I need help. Can you help me? Right? That's kind of like not okay. So yeah, anyway, what's coming up for you and what's your story around this, this that I'm talking about?
Yeah. So I got into yachting quite late. I got into yachting when I was 31, 32. And yeah, I got sold the postcard. I got sold the luxury. You know, you're not going to pay tax. You're going to rent free. You're going to go to all these incredible places. And you're going to have an incredible life just driving tenders and, yeah, looking cool. And some of that is true. A lot of that is true. And as you said, it's just a snapshot. So I was super excited. I've been, you know, I traveled to 80 plus countries before this. I was a seasoned traveler and I thought, wow, this could be perfect for me because I've always felt that sense of I don't belong anywhere. I can't find that job for me. And I thought, you know what? This sounds amazing. So why not just do the SDCW, dive straight in and see what happens. And I kind of took a chance, went to Mallorca, and I got lucky because I met a few people that had good networks, and it's super easy to meet people, and it's a great island for the social side, which I'll come back to actually. And so, yeah, I managed to get some day work at first. I'd done a month-ish day work, and then I got super fortunate and I got a call, and I got on a 35-meter motor yacht. I didn't have to cut my hair, which was lucky. And I done around 15 months. And I think I knew from the beginning, but I started to kid myself that this wasn't for me. The demands, the pressure, and my boat was based here, so I didn't have it half as bad going away for 5 months with the owner on for four of those, for instance. So I had a relatively good job, really good job.
So what were those demands and pressures that made you feel like this is definitely not for me?
I think it was what was expected of me, in the terms of my owner was quite demanding but fair, and we didn't have much interaction with him, but there was a lot of pressure with, you know, kind of, I came on as a green deckhand, and I was pretty much had to learn on the job of a 3-week trip, and I was learning on the job like mooring techniques, just how to position myself, what was expected of me from the owner. So it was all very new, and it was like almost like a juggernaut of information that I had to process and deal with, as well as, you know, we didn't do split shifts. So we were doing like 18, 19 hour days. And for me, that was tough because I'd never experienced that before. Right. I used to do shift work, and I thought that would gear me well, but this was completely different. And to be on like constant standby was tough for me. So mentally I was quite drained, I was tired, I was learning so much, everything was so new, we were traveling, so it was a bit of an overload, and I think that was hard for me.
And I'm glad you bring this up, because you know, you guys are viewing this, it's very important, you know, as senior crew members we tend to forget those early days, and then we get super we are not compassionate enough, or we're not patient enough with the green crew that are coming in. We want them to just like be like, hey, go, do this, do that. It's like, you know, we have to remember that there's this massive overload. There's this new environment that you're kind of like adjusting to. There's so many things happening at once that it's like, okay, yeah, I want to perform, but like, fuck, give me a break, you know, like, there's a lot going on, you know, and we have all been through that. But for some reason, we kind of forget what that was like for us. And we just expect green crew to perform at a level that they will never be able to perform, because that's why they're green crew, you know. So I'm glad that you kind of bring that up, because I think it's a very important reminder for all of us that are viewing this, you know, to like snap out of it a little bit and be like, oh shit, yeah, I should be more patient, I should be more considerate, I should be more compassionate. Yeah.
And what was interesting about our boat is that the crew mess wasn't off limits. So the owner and the family couldn't eat it. So there was literally nowhere. The only time I could escape, I felt like I was alone, was in the shower.
Yeah.
I would just stand there for 20 minutes thinking, I don't know if I can carry on with this. And that was like after about 4 days. I was thinking, come on, just get through it. Just get through it. Come on. It's going to be a good experience. I was trying to reframe it in the best possible light. Even though I was tired, and I was like, you know, it's a challenge. It's not a struggle. It's a challenge. And I'm going to get to the other end no matter what it takes. And it's going to be valuable lessons that I can take with me.
So obviously you didn't feel, well, I mean, I'm assuming here, but how was your, do you feel like you had some sort of support system within the boat, that as a green crew member or any crew member really that was part of the team, that they were taken into consideration, you know, their mental health, their well-being, you know, within the confinement of, you know, a really extreme industry?
I would say yes and no. My captain was like great with me, and he was always there, like, if you want to talk to me. I didn't feel like I could. I don't know if it was the chain of command or the way that the boat was and everyone was busy and doing things that I didn't feel comfortable doing that. I didn't want to see it as almost like weakness to admit that I was not doing well or I was tired or I felt uncomfortable. So I think it was more about me than the boat, for example.
Okay.
And yeah, that feeling of, because I've heard about the industry before I came into it and it's quite cutthroat. And I felt that if I were to say, you know what, I'm tired, I need an extra hour nap or something, that would say, you know what, this ain't for you. You know, on your bike, we pull up and you can jump off. That's how I assumed it would be. Maybe I've got that wrong, but that was just the story in my head.
So I think this is a very important point that you're bringing up, because a lot of people within the industry, they say, well, I don't feel that I can talk to my superiors. Right. And sometimes it's true. The superiors are not creating an environment or inviting them to say, hey, I'm not feeling good. I'm not okay. And that is a valid point. That could be true. But also, I think there is this side that you're talking about where the superiors are saying, I'm here for you. If you're needing to talk to me, talk to me. But then we have this fake story that we're going in like a hamstring wheel that is actually blocking us from asking for that help. And then it's almost like we blame the industry or we blame something exterior, right, outside of us, when in fact it's the fact that we're not taking responsibility to speak up and, you know, say what we feel, you know, whether that will cost you your job or not, because more than likely it won't cost you your job. It's just a story that we have in our mind that if I say I'm not okay, I'm going to be on the dock within the hour, which is totally not true, because most humans in nature are compassionate beings, are people that do care about other people, you know? So I'm glad that you kind of brought that up and kind of put a lens on a different perspective, and that you realize, you know what, it's not really that the boat wasn't supporting me. It was that I had this story that was blocking me from asking for that support. Yeah. So I'm so happy that you brought that up.
Yeah. And what's interesting is I feel that story and those beliefs, that belief system in my head, held me back from progressing as fast as I could have, because in my head I was thinking, the problem with a first impression is you only get one. And I thought that if I make a bad first impression, then again, I'm off, I'm done. And that's going to be a very short career. So that I think I added more pressure to myself on top of, you know, not knowing my job, not really being in this environment, dealing with high-end clients that, you know, eyes like a hawk. I was just like, just petrified, you know. It got to the stage I didn't know, you know, like walking on eggshells, because the literally walking on the teeth like a ballerina, because the owner could like wake up like could hear a pin drop. He was so sensitive, and he was ringing up the captain every night saying, I can hear a noise. So I mean, it was just, and things were going wrong. Maybe we'll talk about that, but everything that could have went wrong on this trip. And yeah, it was just it was an incredible experience when I look back, and something that I can take a lot from and help others who are in this industry or, you know, something similar, because it's a tough place to work.